4. The headlong retreat of the Germans out of Holland was slowing, although few of the jubilant Dutch realized it as yet. From the Belgian border north to Arnhem, roads were still choked, but there was a difference in the movement. From his post in the provincial building above the Arnhem Bridge, Charles Labouchere saw no let-up in the flood of vehicles, troops, and Nazi sympathizers streaming across the bridge. But a few blocks north of Labouchere's location, Gerardus Hiespers, a seller of antique books, saw a change taking place. German troops entering Arnhem from the west were not moving on. The compound of the Willems barracks next to Hiespers' home and the streets in the immediate vicinity were filling with horse-drawn vehicles and disheveled soldiers. Hiespers noted Luftwaffe battalions, anti-aircraft personnel, Dutch SS and elderly men of the 719th Coastal Division. It was clear to Arnhem's resistance chief, Peter Kreif, that this was no temporary halt. These troops were not heading back into Germany. They were slowly regrouping. Some horse-drawn units of the 719th were starting to move south. Kreif's chief of intelligence for the Arnhem region, 33-year-old Henri Knapp, unobtrusively cycling through the area, spotted the subtle change, too. He was puzzled. He wondered if the optimistic broadcasts from London were false. If so, they were cruel deceptions. Everywhere he saw the Dutch rejoicing. Everyone knew that Montgomery's troops had taken Antwerp. Surely Holland would be liberated within hours. Knapp could see the Germans were reorganizing. While they still had little strength, he knew that if the British did not come soon, that strength would grow. In Nijmegen, 11 miles to the south, German military police were closing off roads leading to the German frontier. Elias Broekkamp.